Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is King at Jeromney. He is Ski at TSB Ski. Tweet at one of those handles if you want us to watch one of your movies. We are interested. We are open to watching your movies. So let us know what you want us to see. And we will talk about them and probably talk shit about them, even if they're good. You know what movie's not good? The movie we watched this week.
It's so funny to say that because it's only like the fifth worst movie we've watched.
You know, I was going to ask you that later. I'm going to ask you it right now before I even introduce the movie. Was this movie revenge for American Ninja? Was it revenge? Was revenge on your mind?
Yes, that and the Miko Suki movie or whatever the fuck we watched like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, like the one I... Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And the Expendables franchise.
Oh, no, you can't say anything about that.
Yeah, you gotta back that up. Back that up.
You already
back
made us watch that fucking Kevin James movie. I thought that was payback enough.
I don't even know which one you're talking about.
That's right. The Sean Payton.
The Sean Payton one.
I forgot about that.
I thought we were all square here.
No, but see, I'm picking these movies because they're hilariously bad. You guys are picking these movies thinking they're good.
Well,
and they're
bad. I was hoping it was going to be.
I just want to watch this Japanese art house movie.
That's fair.
Okay.
Like, that's fair. You know what?
Yes.
Right. You're right.
Yes. These are now revengeful picks, if that's what you're asking.
All right, listener.
Hey, Expendables 3 comes on and watch out. My next suggestion, watch out.
All right, listener, hopefully you've seen the title of this movie. You know what it is. Hopefully you go out and watch it and then listen to us talk about it. Because, oh boy. So it's King's movie, as we mentioned, the Brady Bunch movie. Came out in 1995. 63% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Again, not the worst movie we've
watched
by a long
stretch. Believe that?
By a lot. It's like 79 on Metacritic. I'm telling you guys.
6.1 on IMDb.
Finish up because I was going to go into it.
The phrase, the tagline for this movie, they're back to save America from the 90s. That's this movie is the Brady Bunch in the 70s. Set in the 90s. Go ahead.
I was trying to figure out what kind of movie this was.
Awesome.
Was this a spoof? Was this a spoof movie?
No. Well,
was this spoofing?
They were in on the joke quite clearly.
Yes, they were. So was this a spoof movie of the Brady Bunch?
I wouldn't say a spoof movie, but
it was an homage because they had the original actors and like do cameos too.
Cameos were good.
I was curious who this movie was made for.
See, that's what I'm saying. I watched 20 minutes of it last night and had to stop. I was like, I cannot finish watching this movie tonight.
So listener, you should know. Ski texted both of us after watching 20 minutes of it and was like, should I watch the rest of this movie or like only watch 20 minutes and base like my reactions on what you guys talk about or something? And I was like, dude, I had already watched it at that point. And I was like, if I had to suffer through this movie, motherfucker, you have to suffer through this movie. That's the least we can do for the listener.
So I watched the rest of the movie today, and I think this is a spoof movie. It's not the crazy over-the-top Hot Shots Part Deux, like, spoof
shit. Oh, God,
yeah.
Another classic movie you guys forced me to watch.
Jesus, what an absolute shit show. God
but this was a spoof. I think
100%.
It is. Yeah.
Listen, Alice was horny as hell. Did you hear her line?
She sure fucking was.
On her knees. I thought Mike had magic fingers.
Yeah.
Mike comes out. He's like, oh, I'm just delivering meat to Alice.
Sam delivered some meat. Come on.
The internal dialogue of Jan the whole time.
Alice fucks.
So we know, I mean, we've said before is I don't really like spoof movies.
Yeah.
But for a spoof movie, I think this is the best spoof of it.
Oh my
because
God.
Because
I
they
love
didn't,
this take.
Because they didn't try so hard. They didn't go weird, wacky, over the top spoof. So I didn't enjoy it, but I respected it.
Yes.
It's not good, but I respected it.
This movie is cow football. You don't like it. You never want to watch it again.
Mm-mm.
But deep down, you respect the effort.
But man, they're doing it, aren't they? They're out there trying, and they stuck to it the entire time. They know what they're doing. What they're doing doesn't work at all, but they know what they're doing and they're committed to it.
It worked enough that they made a sequel that following year.
Two sequels to this movie.
There's a third?
Yeah. It's a made-for-TV sequel. It's got... So, by the way, we haven't talked about anything else about this movie yet. But it doesn't have any of the kids who are in the other two. But
all right, well,
does have Shelley Long and Gary Cole, though.
Heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy hitters.
Very heavy hitters. You know what it's called? A Brady Bunch in the White House.
Okay.
You know what it's about?
Okay. No, I don't want to.
It's about them somehow becoming president of the United States of America.
Get the fuck out of here.
And all of their policies are like super well-meaning, but man, they just do not get it right, you guys.
I'm going to remember that.
I had to look into that after seeing the title.
And like I said, I had never seen this movie. I didn't know. I knew it existed, but didn't know too much detail of it.
Yeah.
I thought they would eventually jump into the 90s, you know, like start wearing different clothes and like kind of acting the times. Nope.
They grinded out
that 70s style.
So consistent the whole way through. Never deviated whatsoever.
They even had the turf grass.
Yeah. Sack hopping.
Michael McKean is like, I don't trust him. They got that turf over there.
That was the Michael McKean role for him in the 90s.
So
was making, businessman, making, neighbor, shady shit on the side.
Making fun of a little girl for her lisp the entire time. Like, oh my God.
And then,
hey, Cindy was cute a year ago. Get out of my lawn.
His wife is Jean Smart.
And then super horny Jean Smart, drunk so horny good. Jean Smart. And then Uncle Phil coming out of nowhere towards the end.
Uncle
Phil.
Yeah. All right, one more thing. You know what? Go ahead.
I will say,
and then we're fighting over each other to talk about this movie.
And there was one other character, the neighbor kid who's like the bully slash mean kid.
The rocker.
I instantly recognized him from the movie Barbed Wire.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I knew I recognized
him. Which was right around the vehicle?
Yes. Yes. Because it was like right around, I think it was like Barbed Wire was like 97 or 98. And I was like, I know this fucking guy. And then just clicked. I was like, yes.
You know who
these
else
are the movies you're in.
You know who else I thought I recognized was the carjacker. Because I thought, I was like, man, is that the dude?
It's Rufio.
Is that Rufio?
I think it's Rufio. It's not Rufio.
It's his brother. Apparently.
Is it actually his brother?
So Dante Bosco is like Rufio. His brother is also an actor, and he was in this movie as the carjacker.
Lower budget movies.
Yep.
I was going
Rufio.
I know. It's his brother. I swear to God. I was looking it up. So it took me like 5 minutes. I literally invested 5 minutes of my night into looking up if it was Dante Bosco or not. And it's not.
I was cursing out Dustin Hoffman when I saw him on there. I thought it was Rufio.
Because Rufio didn't do anything else. He was Rufio, and then he didn't do anything. anything else?
Rufio has done a lot of things.
What has
he was in the late 90s classic Fakin' Da Funk, where he's an Asian guy in the hood, like acting all gangster and stuff.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
And there was another problematic 90s one. Yes, it very much is. He's been in like 130 things, probably.
All right. Speaking of people,
he's been in 130 things, and you can name
there's
this.
There's no chance.
Yes,
he's been
130. Three now. Hook.
Yeah. This room of course, in this. Of course, Hook.
Yeah, and Fakin' Da Funk.
He's not in this, by the way.
So. Yeah, I'm gonna say he says. Anyway.
I'm gonna say yeah. That was Rufio.
All right. Yeah. They
it was
the
his brother Jackie O.
All the Boscos look alike too.
Jackie O. No. Onassis.
So in this movie. We mentioned Shelley Long and Gary Cole earlier. Absolute, you said it, man. Absolute heavy hitters. Like,
love
two,
to see what they made these people.
Two of the biggest actors, well, like character actors, like fucking ever. Gary Cole.
I don't know about Gary Cole then, though.
No, it's like Office Space had already come out or had it because it's
had
like
it. 95. See, I don't think it had.
I think Office Space was like early 90s, wasn't it?
Was it? Well, if it did, because other than that, he kind of flourished later in his career.
Absolutely.
But Shelley Long is a monster hitter.
Absolute monster. By the way, what happened to Shelley Long? She's just like on purpose, just not acting because she's great.
Probably.
If she's still around, just I want to see her more stuff.
How much money she's just raking in off Cheers still?
Fair.
Oh my God. Office Space, 1999.
Wow. Yeah, fair enough. See,
much later.
So Gary Cole lands Office Space off the back of
off
a
this.
Brady Bunch movie.
Off the trilogy. Off the Brady Bunch
the Brady trilogy. Let's fucking go. Love that so much. All right. Also in this movie, Christine Taylor.
Who
you will remember from Hey Dude. Also was married to Ben Stiller for a long time. Florence Henderson makes a cameo in this. All the old people made cameos in this. Except I looked this up too. Cindy, like the original Cindy, the little girl, like she made a cameo, but they cut it. And so can you imagine being the only original cast member who makes a cameo?
No, that's cold.
That's so
brutal. That sucks.
Already mentioned Gene Smart, Michael McKean. Let's see. Some randoms, a whole bunch of randoms. I was just going to
go. That was about it.
Never heard of anybody. RuPaul made a cameo. RuPaul's cameo in this as the guidance counselor where she's talking to Jan and she said, what did she say? She said, paranoid schizophrenia, common for kids in mixed families.
Yeah. And I'm like, ooh.
What? I should mention. So this movie directed by Betty Thomas, who also directed Dr. Doolittle. She directed the Private Parts movie, the Howard Stern movie. Yep. She directed 28 Days. She directed I Spy, John Tucker Must Die, and then her biggest hit, Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel.
Squeakquel.
She is all over the place. Well,
speaking of prolific, man, that is fantastic. Yeah,
she's a spray hitter. She's spray. You can't put the shift on her.
No.
She's hitting the ball everywhere.
Spray hitter. Okay, this movie was written by Bonnie and Terry Turner, who are like amazingly famous in their world SNL writers. They're like they have been at SNL for like 40 years, basically, just like institutions at Saturday Night Live. They also wrote the Wayne's World movies. They wrote Coneheads. They wrote Tommy Boy. So that gives you an idea. Like I looked that up before because that's how I do it. I looked it up before I watched this movie and very much watched this movie with like a SNL style movie vibe. Like looking at it like Night at the Roxbury or something where it's like, all right, this is going to be dumb. But know who wrote it. Know that it's like an SNL sketch, basically. This movie, the budget is really low. How much do you think they spent on this movie?
$3 million.
It was 12. So $12 million on a movie in the 90s, even in the 90s, is absolutely nothing. Like we've talked about, we've watched 90s movies where it was like $150 million and they spent 12. Movie made $54.1 million in the box office. So
hit.
It's a success.
It's a hit.
Huge, huge success, which, as we said, spawned sequels.
I have just now looked up the Mary Brady sequel.
Yep.
And this is a threat, motherfuckers. Look me in the eyes. If you torment me.
I am the captain.
If you torment me more, a Mary Brady sequel will be.
Did you not remember I got four American ninjas in my back pocket just in case? So
God.
Let's just hold back on these threats here.
Oh, well, trust me, I think I can one up you guys on movies you hate.
Now I got a question. Do TV movies count? Because a Brady Bunch in the White House movie was a made for TV movie.
No, they don't count. Because
all right, because yeah. I gotta be honest.
I think there's like a very Brady Christmas 2 that was a TV movie.
I gotta be honest. I kind of want to watch the White House one.
Just
wow,
to see how
jeepers,
you can get there.
Look, it's the nuclear code. Shut up, Jan. It's just the Ayatollah.
Hey, what's that big red phone for? Golly, that's the loudest noise I've ever heard.
Why don't we just join the KKK? Stop tattletaling on us, Cindy.
Oh hey, my that, god, the fucking
that's totally tubular how you bomb Syria there.
Wow, I love it when you just take your power out on the little guy, Prez.
Why are so many people upset about Israel?
Well, Cindy, the Jews. Greg.
Well, Cindy, you know what they say about the Jews. Gary Cole had so many goddamn lines like that, man. He told Cindy not to be a narc like 10 times in this movie. It's like, how many times are you going to make him say the same line over and over again? You know, telling on somebody else is just as bad as telling on yourself. It's like, oh my God, man.
This movie was bad, but we're laughing at
yes.
it. Like, it was.
This is what White Chicks was supposed to be.
Supposed to be.
That's yeah. what I'm saying.
And probably. Yeah, yeah. I'm actually, you know, I know we did that review like a month ago. I'm surprised White Chicks didn't hit me like.
As, yeah, same.
Yeah.
I expected it to. Maybe that's
they
why.
They tried too much and went over Probably. The top a little too much.
Yeah, well, the weigh-ins are, you know, I'm sure if yeah. I watched, you know, Don't Be a Gangster in South Central while drinking your juice in the hood tonight, I'd be like, I like it. I get it.
Yeah.
Nostalgia, of course. Some of this is a little over the top. Yeah.
Terry Crews, man. Like, Terry Crews is the difference in White Chicks and in the Brady Bunch movie. Terry Crews doing way too much.
Yeah, Terry Crews, and you got Uncle Phil on the other hand.
Like, see, Uncle Phil, his little line at the end, like, Uncle Phil, above reproach. Like, perfect line delivery, perfect acting at the end. It's like, you know what? You could tell the message from the Bradys really hit home, and they weren't moving out of that neighborhood. Yep.
How the fuck did they get him in this movie for that role?
Some of these roles had to be like a passion project where they were like, you know what? I watched this as a kid. I'm going to get in it to make my mom laugh.
I think some people might have had some contractual obligations to fill for future deals.
See, now you're just being jaded. I was trying to make this pure.
Well, I got a question too, because if it's written by SNL people, is Lorne Michaels involved? Because if Lorne Michaels is involved, he asks people, they generally will say yes, right?
You got to check out the producing credits.
I got to find that out. I miss the producing credits. That's
there's some super old Lloyd Schwartz and Sherwood Schwartz.
Yeah, it's about what are you trying to say, Ski?
Yep. What are you doing? Yeah, what's going on?
This was an old production company running this movie.
Yeah, these are the original producers of the Brady Bunch.
Probably. I would not be surprised. In fact,
what kind of people are they, Ski?
rich people.
Okay, Ski.
Deceased people.
Deceased people.
Oh, by the way, while Ski's looking that up, plot of this movie is that the neighbor, played by McKean, is trying to get the whole neighborhood to sell their houses so they can create, like, so the people they're selling to can create this big subdivision or something. And the guy who is trying to make that happen is manipulating him into getting everybody else to sell. And the Brady family are the only ones who are not wanting to sell because they really want to live in their house that they've lived in forever.
So those guys, definitely executive producers of the original Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
There's only a handful I'm seeing from just them. The amount of spinoffs from the original cast, the Brady Girls Get Married, the Brady Brides TV series, A Very Brady Christmas, the Bradys. Just so many.
Was there a crossover?
Brady's Go to Hawaii. Yeah.
Was there a crossover with Gilligan's Island? Because there should have been.
Well, there had to have, but there had
there should have been. Yeah.
Yeah, because they were producers on Gilligan Island as well. So.
Obviously. Yeah. Obviously. So big running themes in this one. Cindy's lisp and her being a narc.
Jan's ugly. Jan
being ugly and like literally being a paranoid schizophrenic. Like literally having several different voices in her head at all time that cause her to make horrible decisions. Like running away and hitchhiking. So in Los Angeles, just
walking by hookers.
A street with prostitutes in Los Angeles. All right. Okay, fair enough.
The weird, unnecessary afro she puts on.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Throwing on the afro. Yep.
That one was
hitchhiking with semi trucks.
Everybody smiling, sunshine days.
Oh man. That's another one. Greg singing his horrible songs and calling every female.
How did that song go? Saying
to every female, "Hey there, groovy chick." It's like, oh man.
If beanstalks never grew before.
Dolphins only flew.
Yeah, it was something beanstalks.
Yeah, it was beanstalks because
beanstalks never grew.
That was the scene like where he was talking to the original Greg, where he was like a record exec or something.
Record producer.
Yeah. It's like, what, they don't have beanstalks in California? Something like that. Don't remember.
So here's a question.
Here's another one real quick. Peter's voice breaking every second of the movie until he turns into Elvis at the end of the movie.
Did Peter and Greg plow Gene Smart?
100%.
That's how they alluded to it, right?
She gave me
$20. Man, she's so generous.
And by the way, Peter absolutely bangs the teacher as well.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah. Are you kidding me?
They had
again, another problematic trope in 2022.
Yeah. Yeah.
They also decided to mix in that I can't remember the guy's name, the love interest, the big man on campus. They referred to him like 1,000 times.
Yep.
He plowed some other chick like at the dance. They like both pop up and smoking cigarettes. It's like,
yep.
What's going on here?
And they're just in like a wooden box somewhere.
Yeah.
An elephant.
Fucking in a
wooden box. It didn't really make sense. Yeah, it was a coffin. I didn't really get that one. The whole movie, I was like, okay, you got me. But an hour and 10 minutes. Okay. An elevated coffin. All right, you lost me.
You have jumped the shark. I mean, this whole movie's jumping the shark, but that is jumping the shark.
Well, then you have the lesbian friend that's always trying to like get up on Marcia a little bit. And
I'm glad you mentioned her. Like, do you recognize her?
I've seen her before. Her
name is Alana Ubak, I think it is. She plays Noreen in this movie. She was in the movie Waiting. You ever see that?
She's the wild card one that like shows her giant bush.
She was
right?
a giant yeah. bush, and yep,
yeah.
Yep.
All right.
She was that yeah. character. I think she was also like on the Nickelodeon shows back in the day too. Like I remember her from some of that shit. Like I looked up her IMDb real quick, and she's like a voice actor, so she's got like 300 credits.
John, like Salute Your Shorts, maybe?
Or? Yeah, yeah. No, she wasn't she like Possibly. Mona on Salute Your Shorts? Do you remember that at all? Because that's coming from the back yeah. of my brain, man. Where like Ugg had this like male chick that he was in love with, and like her name was Mona, and I'm pretty sure that was her.
See, Salute Your Shorts.
I love that you both are just looking stuff up on your phones right now. <That's>...
No, Mona was someone named Christine Cavanaugh.
Oh, okay, all right, my bad.
Clowns never she looks like laughed her, before.
But she's definitely in. Never in waiting.
Grew.
Really yeah. By bad. The way, when they had the sleepover, just like sleeping in the same bed right yeah. next to each other, grabs her leg.
In the if you watch the, I guess you call it like the post credit where they got the big squares and all the faces on it, and they're like moving people around on it.
Yeah,
and she does like a tit grab in it.
She did
as well.
She did, yeah.
And they kissed,
and Marsha's like, eh. Yeah, Marsha's like, eh.
No, she was like, eh. She was like, eh, it's cool.
So, product of the 70s.
Does that happen in the sequel?
Oh, boy. Boy. I hope so.
I know. Christine.
I know
Taylor.
It's problematic, but I'd watch it.
No, there's no problem there, bud.
But this movie at least brought back a lot of feelings for Christine Taylor from Hey Dude.
Yeah.
Say that much.
Christine Taylor, man. Absolutely.
Okay, so doing some Googling, I think that Greg Brady song is a real song.
Everybody's calling Sunshine Day. That one?
No, that the one. Clowns one. Oh, Barry Williams and
never
Steven...
danced before. Well, is it one of the guys they had in the movie, like Davy Jones or whatever?
No, it says Barry Williams and Steven Schwartz.
Barry Williams is the guy who played Greg in the original
okay.
show.
Okay, okay, so that's it. Okay.
Well, right. I think I feel like the Brady Bunch
they probably
might
had
have
an album.
Toured a musical tour yeah. as well, kind of like the Monkees style.
Ponies
yeah, so that,
never ran before.
So that would make perfect sense that was a song that they have.
Surf never broke before, and artists never drew.
Put on your Sunday best, family. We're going to Sears.
Sears, yes.
and then they play the song, the Sunshine Day song, while they're in a mall.
That scene
escalator.
This movie almost lost me with that. That scene, I almost called it quits. But I was so deep in at the time, I was like, all right.
I'm with you, man. I was like, fuck you.
No, that scene made me like openly laugh. Sears and then this?
Yeah.
Yes.
okay.
He's got a fucking guitar as he's going down the escalator in the back. He's
everybody
like,
shining
oh.
sunshine days.
I would be intrigued to talk to someone that, you know, was a teenager when the original Brady Bunch came out. And to see how this like hits for them.
Oh, it couldn't be good. But I will say, I actually enjoyed the original Brady Bunch when it was in syndication, just because if you watch it, they're in on the joke. Like, they just know it's a bad show.
Yeah. No, they know what they're doing.
Like, I'm not saying I would have ever gone out of my way to watch it when I saw it.
Most shows back then were like that, though. Like we mentioned, Gilligan's Island. Like shows were
yeah,
there were
fair
dumb,
enough, Bewitched and stuff.
Yeah, they were dumb on purpose, but people liked them for that. Like Nick at Night.
Well,
shows,
it was supposed to be
man.
Like wholesome. It was wholesome. Right?
It was, yeah. But I guess yeah. I guess now that you said, I guess I have like a soft spot in my heart for shows that say something corny and look right into the camera.
Yeah, like, they look right at
got
you.
Got it. Totally. Like, this is a bad joke.
So you're a big like Office fan.
That's literal.
And Parks and Rec as well. They're both.
You want to know what? Yeah, but I'm a bigger Parks and Rec guy yeah. than The Office.
As am I.
And the British Park or the British Office. Ah, got no
get it out of here. Get it out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
You know who needs to not get out of here is Eric Nice, who was the MC at the end. Remember fucking Eric Neese?
Eric Neese, Jock Jams, baby.
Yep, Jock Jams, fucking MTV Real World superstar.
Yep.
Also, Real World versus Road Rules Challenge.
Oh my God! What a show! What a concept!
Was he in a Jock Jam worlds. Somehow?
We got Puck versus Eric Neese.
By the way, Ski, I'm really glad you mentioned that earlier because, like, I literally wrote down
with Jock Jams.
No, like the thing about everybody fucking. Because I'm like, I literally wrote down in my notes, if there's one takeaway from this movie, it's that the Bradys fuck. The
Brady's
parents too, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, there are several scenes where it's very clear that they are about to get down.
It's like, and they go like, "Oh, this is our last. This is our last night in the house." It's like, "Well, we're gonna tear this fucker up." That's
we're gonna spackle this
red
room.
To fluids.
We're gonna ruin. Gonna put a new coat on this wall for the new people.
It's a new coat of paint.
Put a stain on the carpet, baby.
Yeah. God damn it! By the way, like, I know this is a question probably for the TV show too, but do we ever get any indication at any point in any of these things why they are divorced and found each other? Like, any
I'm gonna
do they
say,
talk about their
I'm
past
gonna say,
at all ever? Just curious.
I'm going to say for sure that he's a widower. You got to take it at times too. I'm going to say they're probably both widowers, widow and widower. It would be my guess.
I could see that. Because that would make it happy when they got together. Yeah.
Actually, scratch that. Hold on. Phil.
Wasn't one of the sequels about that though?
That's what I'm saying.
Everybody's
filling
days.
But I thought the second movie. Yeah.
The second movie is supposed to be like her ex-husband.
Yeah,
or something coming.
But it was
fray.
Like it wasn't actually her ex-husband or something.
Yeah,
right?
So I don't know. Yeah, I think I read a little blurb. I remember looking at it, but yeah.
Fuck. I guess we got to watch the sequel, man. Shit.
So I just, you know, oh dang, I think this movie may be kind of progressive.
Last few minutes here, by the way. It absolutely is. Are you kidding me?
But no, but I'm looking at like the original show premise.
Oh, the
Mike
original
Brady,
show.
Yeah. Mike Brady is a widowed architect who marries Carol Martin, who has three daughters. They don't mention that she's widowed.
No mention of it. Yeah.
Oh, she was a free relationship, baby.
Yeah. Better believe it. All right. It's actually time to grade this thing. This has been, I got to say, this has been like the fastest podcast we've ever done. I'm not even like, it sounds like I'm just saying that. This one blew by. I can't give this movie a good score. I cannot.
But I think we enjoyed the review.
Yes.
Everybody's smiling. Podcast review.
Podcast review.
Climbing up a
few
stuff.
All
right. Your movie, King. What's your score?
What's it out of 4?
Oh, it's out of 5.
It's out of 5.
We're doing it out of 5 this week. Yeah.
Just this week? Okay. Usually.
Cool. Yes, because then we can use like half points and stuff. It's like a math thing. Yeah.
It's a 2.5 out of 5. It's a nice ranch style house out of 5.
There you go. Perfect. Because he's an architect.
He's an architect like George Costanza.
The same house.
Yeah. The same house to every business he tries to sell a building to. Yeah.
Yes. I guess I'll go. I am going to give this a 2.3 repeating.
Wow.
I respect this movie.
I respect it. I can't do that. I'm giving it a 1.5 out of 5. Like
no!
I cannot give it a good score. Why did you give your Mikasuki movie? If I never watch this movie ever again, I will be happy. But
you don't need to.
I really enjoyed talking about it with you guys.
God,
that's and guess what?
A very Brady sequel.
I give you
babe.
Guys a 5.
It's coming up.
By the way, before we finish this podcast, when the younger son frisked the teacher next to the bus, did she have stuff hiding in her vagina?
Yes.
Yes. And he said something about, like, you got tight, strong thighs.
Strong
like
thigh muscles.
It would have been better if it had been like, oh, man, you really work your Kegel exercises, don't you?
Yeah.
That would have been better, but yeah.
Everybody's smiling. Sunshine reviews. Everybody's
like, she was hiding a lot of stuff up there, you guys. Why is he frisking a teacher?
He's going after that reward. It was a reward out there for office supplies.